Is there audio for this? You have speakers.
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay, we'll find out. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, well, so I guess we'll find out. So yeah, this is my best attempt to do 4.5 years and 9.5 minutes. So please have mercy, and I pray it'll be a blessing. It's just a little bit of what the Lord's been doing in South Africa.
For none that search or seek after none. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith, I will feed my sheep. We are the Caesar family. We are missionaries in South Africa. My wife Hannah, our oldest daughter Adelaide, our oldest son Hudson, and our twin boys, Benjamin and Judah. South Africa is a beautiful land, rich with history and diverse cultures and landscape. A land of mountains and valleys, plateaus and savanna, oceans and rivers, and cities and townships. With a population of approximately 60 million people, 11 national languages, and standing at over 470,000 square miles, almost twice the size of Texas, South Africa has a varied and diverse culture of many people to reach for Jesus Christ. South Africa is divided up into 9 provinces, kind of like states, with 2 sovereign nations within its borders. We currently are based in the yellow province of Gauteng, just south of Johannesburg, which is the largest city in South Africa. It has a population of approximately 6 million people. That's more than all cities in the U.S. except for New York City. Less than 2 months after arriving in South Africa, the Lord amazingly secured a position at a Christian school in the city of Elmerton. Worked at this school for exactly 2 years. We relocated to Elmerton in the middle of 2019, and I began working with a brother in Christ doing work with the homeless, feeding, preaching, praying, and counseling. At the beginning of 2020, the Lord put strongly in my heart to resign from my teaching position, and when the lockdown hit in March, I was free to do the work whereunto He had called me. Once the lockdown hit, the government attempted to get all the homeless off the streets and into various community buildings like these to become homeless shelters. With the commission to feed my sheep, the Lord sent me and successfully got me into all 4 homeless shelters in eastern Gauteng. For 1 year, I was in each of these shelters 2 to 3 times per week, preaching the Word of God, teaching and guiding the flock, leading these men and women in prayers to our Father in heaven. The Lord raised up a team of men who began joining me in this work. To see the support of the body of Christ during this time was amazing. We were able to help with clothes, Bibles, reading glasses, toiletries, and various other needs. Of all the people we ministered to, by the end of a year, there really was a remnant of people that had a desire to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of which was Brother Mike. By God's grace, we were able to get Brother Mike out of the shelter, and he joined us for a couple of months preaching the gospel with us. And then, by the grace of God, we were able to send him back home to the Eastern Cape to be reconciled with his wife and children.
Amen.
2 others, Patience and Wilson, were able to be sent home to Zimbabwe to be reconciled with their families that they had been estranged from for years. During this lockdown period, we formed a gathering of believers in homes where we would seek the Lord's face, worship Him, study His Word. Out of this, a local church was formed in July of 2021. The Elmerton Bible Church was formed with the intention of growing and training disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely this little flock has been our family away from home. Out of this church, he's formed a small team of committed disciples of Christ, people whose intention is to do the Lord's will, no matter what the cost. These three young men, Jonathan, Andrew, and Leon, have really stepped forward to seriously study, live, and preach the Word of God.
Amen.
We meet every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday to pray, sing, study the Word, and do evangelism. These are some pictures of our outreaches. The people of Africa are quite open to the truth of the gospel, but there are many challenges and obstacles, perhaps trust being the chief of them. Out of these outreaches, the Lord has established a children's ministry every Saturday afternoon at the Crossroads Informal Settlement. Here, the team faithfully works to teach lessons, memory verses, and songs, and do crafts and games with approximately 60 to 70 children from this highly underprivileged community. The Lord has also opened the door for me to preach the gospel in two other African countries during my time in South Africa. I made a trip to Botswana in 2021 with a team of three other guys. We went to visit our friend Christo and his family, who are now missionaries in northern Botswana in the village of Sapupa. For any believer who has the heart of an evangelist, there is nothing on this earth like bush, village, evangelism. Going hut to hut in the bush. It's just wonderful to sit and speak with these souls about the living God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy. I was also able to make three trips to Zimbabwe. We were able to conduct preaching conferences to train up men in the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are the two primary men that I work with and support in Zimbabwe, Brother Tulani Mawutu and Brother Roser Tsajena. Both are pastors and preachers of the gospel, although Roser's gifts are more towards directing an organization, where Tulani's heart is more towards evangelism. I thank the Lord for these two brothers in Christ who are faithfully doing the work in Zimbabwe. And in all this talk of labor and people, let me not forget the wonderful gift of family. When we first came to South Africa in 2018, it was just Hannah, Adelaide, and me. In November of 2018, the Lord blessed us with a safe and healthy home birth of our firstborn son, Hudson James Caesar. In early 2021, we found out the surprising and happy news that we would be having twins. And on July 24th, 2021, one day before we started Alberton Bible Church, Benjamin Michael and Judah Jeffrey Caesar were born in the middle of the night and by an emergency C-section. Benjamin was born strong and healthy, but little Judah has Down syndrome and was born with some holes in his heart. It was a long journey with our little cowboy Judah. Oxygen and feeding tube and multiple surgeries. But thankfully, at around 8 months old in April, the medical team at Nelson Mandela's Children's Hospital successfully repaired his little heart.
Glory to God.
After a couple of weeks, he was able to come back home on Freedom Day, actually, which is a national South African holiday. He's now growing so much better and is happy and healthy. We truly thank the Lord for his grace to us. These past 4.5 years have been quite a journey. From moving 4 times, to having 3 more children, and during COVID and lockdowns, to planting a local church and establishing the beginnings of a missionary school. The Lord has been with us each step of the way, working marvelously in our midst. Please continue to pray for us and the team in South Africa. Please pray the Lord will continue to help us to be fruitful and pleasing to Him in all that we do. And may His name and glory be magnified in all the earth.
So that's just a little glimpse of what's been going on in South Africa.
Amen.
Any questions about the ministry? Anything stand out? No. Yes, brother.
I apologize, but just in the probably went through in the presentation, but could you elaborate on your early years, how you were introduced to South Africa?
Great question. So I have to make this clear. I don't feel that we've been called to South Africa. You know, like all the missionaries have a call to a specific region. That's not my situation. So my situation was growing up, I said, Lord, I'll do anything, just don't send me to Africa. And then finally, I think it was in 2009, I finally said, okay, God, fine, I surrender. If you want to send me to Africa. So later in 2009, a missionary friend of mine was making a trip to Zimbabwe in Africa. And he called me. He said, I'm looking for people. Are you willing? And I was like, yes, man. I obviously got to pray. But it's like the Lord had released my heart from that fear. So we went to Zimbabwe in 2009 for 50 days evangelism trip. Met Pastor Rosert there and made three more subsequent trips over the next 4 years. In 2014, after my trip to Zimbabwe, I knew of my wife's family. Where'd she go? My daughter's there. She's like, I knew of my wife. So my wife's family, they were missionaries called to South Africa. They went there in the early 90s. They went there when she was 5 years old. So she mostly, she's American technically, but you know, she's mostly South African. So anyway, so 2014, I knew of their family. And so after the Zimbabwe trip, it's right next to South Africa, flew into South Africa, wanted to visit the family. And we had a revival meeting. It was just a really special time. That's where I met my future wife. So the Lord connected us. We ended up getting married the following year in South Africa in 2015. We moved back to the States. I got her a job at the Christian school I was teaching at here. She's also a school teacher. Now she just raises four kids, which is, you know, she doesn't work anymore, right? It's just, you know how the world looks at that. No, she's never worked so hard. But anyways, so 2015, we moved back to here. And but it was our desire to go back that side. So the Lord had an open door for us in Africa, and particularly the entrance into Africa was South Africa. She's got permanent residency, her family's permanent residency, so I'm able to get a visa easily because I live with a permanent resident. So it's just the Lord's opened a door. 2018, we went back to South Africa, helped out with her mother's church for about a year. Then the Lord moved us to a different city, got me a job teaching at that school, and everything's just progressed from there. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
You mentioned coming from a doctor's home and then moving into a place with such poverty. Was there a time either in that, revolving around that, or just in general, where the transition in the serving God seemed almost insurmountable?
So I want to say the Lord was really good to us. He didn't throw us into the deep end. I came from a doctor's home, but then I was a teacher. School teachers don't make money like doctors. And so me and my friend, we bought a house, but it wasn't near the level of my dad's. And again, I had made trips to Zimbabwe, trip to South Africa. And the other thing too is South Africa, it's one of the things that's neat about South Africa. It's not like going from America to like DRC or something, like in deep bush, you know? South Africa is very much a good stepping stone out of the States. So it's still first world, but there's also third world 10 minutes away. So you got both. So it's a really neat. So the Lord was gracious. So when we moved to South Africa, you know, I wasn't living in the tin shacks. There are people living in the tin shacks 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, but I'm not living in a tin shack. So the Lord's been gracious. He's taking care of our family. We started in basically a square house. It was just one room, and the Lord's been faithful to just, as our families increase, to provide for us. So yeah, it's not like I'm not living down at their level. So the Lord really, he prepared us. I think more the challenge wasn't so much the physical things. He prepares you for that, you know? He prepares you if you've got to suffer and endure things. I think more it was the emotional and relational things. So, you know, I built up many relationships and many friends here in the Lord, good churches, good preachers. And then you go there and you're like completely by yourself. You know? You're like on an island. So that was more, the challenge was to keep the fire of God burning brightly. So you got to be plugged into the Lord. You got no backup. But then also not to, and this is where maybe, you know, where you don't want to like, it's hard when you're all by yourself on an island to maintain good balance. Sometimes you can, you know, you tend to certain things you emphasize, and sometimes you get extreme in certain areas and you're lacking other areas. So that's been more of the thing is, I want to be on fire for the Lord, but I also want to be balanced.
Amen.
And it can be dangerous if you have no accountability. I thank the Lord's given me a great wife, and she's not afraid to tell me when I'm wrong. she's not afraid to say, look, you know, you need to hold off here. So, and the Lord's given her great discernment, so she's been a great help to me. But I think that's been the bigger challenge than the monetary stuff. That's not a big deal. Yeah, so there's differences and there's overlaps. And also it depends. So South Africa, like I said, there's 11 national languages. So I mean, it's lots of different cultures in one little area. Especially Joburg, where we are. That's like the economic hub of South Africa. So many people, they flee their countries and they come to Joburg. South Africa is kind of like the America of Africa. It's the land of freedom, the land of opportunity. There's jobs, there's money, there's businesses. So people from deep poverty African countries will flee, come to South Africa. So we have so many different cultures. Like here, there's been more of the melting pot. The melting pot has done its job more. They're not as much. They're like a little bit further behind. So, you know, that question's a little bit, it would be hard for me to answer that quickly, because I'm dealing with so many different cultures. So if we want to look at the African culture, the traditional African culture, they are very chill people. Unless they're like demonically possessed or something, possessed with demons or devils, they're not usually hostile. They're chill. They're not in a rush. They're taking it easy. So they're very easy to talk to. And they're very easy to be talked to. But their challenge is, again, you know, it's a culture of just lots of uncleanness, lots of fornication. Lying is kind of like, I don't know, it's like acceptable to them, you know, like you tell something to their face, but then you're doing something else. So there's kind of those kind of things. And then the deeper spiritual thing is their thing is they honor their ancestors. So it's kind of like they believe in God. If you didn't know any better and you talk to an African, you'll think, wow, this guy knows God. He believes in God. He's like, man, I believe in God. Man, I pray to God every morning. The reason why I'm awake is because of God. You know, and you're like, wow. But if you actually start to get to know them, they pray to a God they don't know. They have no relationship with. And when things get tough or there's troubles or they need answers, they're not seeking God for the answer. They go to witchcraft. And they go to mediums to try to conjure up the spirits of the dead and get answers from their ancestors and things like that. And they offer sacrifices and all these rituals. So there's a whole sub-African culture of stuff they do in the darkness that if you didn't know, you would think, wow, because you believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, man, Jesus. And, you know, but you press them and you start finding that there's other stuff. So,
yeah.
So there's challenges. There's challenges. But I find with Africans, not always, but if you give them sound answers by the Spirit of God, they usually know you're speaking the truth. That doesn't mean they're going to obey it. That doesn't mean they're willing to do it or change their life for it. But at least they'll acknowledge, you know, yeah, that makes sense. You're right, preacher. You know, so we got a little bit of advantage that way. But there's a big barrier between the black-white thing. It's big barriers, deep-rooted. generations of hurt and abuse and things like that. So it's challenging to overcome. Yeah.
What were the kids doing for school? Like ACE?
Yeah, in that one school, that was an ACE school, yeah. That was an ACE school. That's what I taught. It was my first time with ACE. I had to go to South Africa to do ACE, so that was neat. But no, most of the schools are what you would call normal schools, where they have classes and teaching and stuff like that. Any other questions about South Africa, the ministry? Yes?
Our church, you talk a lot about people say prayer real quick and then claim to be saved.
No.
Do you have instances like that over there where you're talking to somebody and in 5 minutes, oh yes, I just got saved? Or does it take, how long does it take to actually get through to an individual there? You say they have witchcraft and different things they do. What is like the biggest obstacle for them to actually come to a true place of repentance and belief?
Yeah, so the thing is with South Africa, this is not a country that's unreached. The name of Jesus Christ and the gospel and Christianity has been in South Africa for 200 years, easily. So we face a similar problem there as here, which is I'm not going to unreached people groups, but I'm going to people groups, and this is true of all the people groups, whether black, white, yellow, Indian, whatever, of people who have different levels of exposure to the Word of God, but then also mixed doctrine and confused error that's been brought in. So it's more like when I meet somebody, you really got to be humble. You got to let the Spirit of God lead you to ask the right questions, to press in, to find out where they're at, what is their basis of faith and trust. Where is their love? Where is their heart? Things like that. So then ultimately they can begin to hear the truth. So a big thing over there amongst the white community is the modern charismatic. You know, God loves everybody. Come just as you are. You're accepted by God. You're amazing. He's got an amazing plan for you. You're wonderful. And, you know, some of those things are partially true, but they're really twisted out of balance. And so they're never even really hearing the gospel. The gospel they're hearing is more just like about a better life now. And, man, he'll give you a better job. And look at what I have. Look at how good God is. And, you know, so that's been a big thing. In fact, that little church, most of them are former charismatics that I perceived had a heart. Somewhere in their heart actually wanted to know God and wanted to do his will, but they had no knowledge because they hadn't been taught the Word of God. So with that group, more my job has been to just open the Bible, preach truth, take them line upon line, take them through the scriptures. No, look at what the scripture says. Yeah, I know that's what you heard, but look at what this is. Look at what Paul said here. Look what Jesus said. And so that's been more my job. I'm just trying to clean out all the junk. Until my prayer, I think, for most of these people is the fear of the Lord has to fall upon them. Until they fear God, nothing's going to happen, you know? So that's, and we praise God. There's one lady in our church that it took a year and a half in Bible study and then a year of the church. And after 2.5 years, she finally gave testimony the one Sunday morning. She said, I want to thank God. She says, I finally fear the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it took her 2.5 years. And she thought she was saved for 7 years before that. But, you know, living in sin and all over the place and up and down and, you know, in a Hillsong church and things like that. And so just confusion, you know. But there was a heart in there that wanted to know God, you know. And this is the thing that I've realized is we got to be careful to not write people off, like if they're part of a certain group. Yes, we reject the error, we reject the lies, we reject those things, but I believe God is faithful. He can call people out of every type of sin and cult and whatever, and calling people to make a name for himself. So, you know, so my work there with that group has mostly been with former charismatics, and some are responding. Some, you know, they leave an offense. Some are still trying to hold on to their stuff, but they're kind of like taking some new stuff, but you see the wrestling. And others have just really released all the junk.
Amen.
And they go, man, we just want to be true to God. And if it's not according to the scriptures, we don't want it, you know. So the Lord's doing his work. But I can't give a particular time frame. I don't know. I'd say it's different with each people. What I found personally with me is I have the greatest impact with people who are younger than me. That's what I found. People who are older than me, I might be able to help them a little bit, might be able to inspire them a little bit, but you're going to have to be a very humble older man, you know? I found that mostly my ministry, I have the biggest impact with people who are younger than me. So we got a young African. His family's from Zimbabwe. I met him at the school when I was teaching there. You know, he's living in sin, wants to be a rap artist, loves hip-hop, you know, it's his life. And I come in and we start Bible studies in that school and I just start preaching the Word of God. And he'll give testimony. He says, man, at first I hated Mr. Caesar. He went home to his mom and go, who's this guy think he is coming in here? And, you know, all this. Because that school was kind of like, just let anything go, just be kind. And, you know, and I'm trying to actually, you know, have some discipline. And so I'm preaching the Word. And anyways, fast forward. I think it was about 2.5 years ago. So fast forward about 2 years. I get a call one night from his mom. I don't even know how they had my number. And I hear him screaming in the background. He's screaming. He's going, I need Mr. Caesar. Get Mr. Caesar. He's just crying out. God doing a work in his heart. And he's crying out for me. And so we were just finishing a Bible study. He says, hold on, I'll come over. So they're in the middle of Joburg. I drove, found the place, get out. By then he had been settled down and he was there with his brother and his mom. And she said he was just hysterical and he's just crying out for you. And so just prayed. And that was really where he started coming under my wing. And then we formed this church. And I think after about 6 months of the church, finally, you know, he broke down and didn't call on me, but called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And since then, he's taken all of his music equipment. By the way, he had a lot of music equipment. He was starting to record beats and friends and all this. Got rid of all of it. You know, burned all his stuff. And I mean, he just 100% wants to serve Jesus Christ, you know. So the Lord knows. There was another young man. I met him at a coffee shop. And it's neat. The Lord, when you have those God connections. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Don't let him distract you. But like the Lord, he connects you with the right people. You know, that's one thing I'm amazed. Like I went to this country knowing nobody except for my wife and her family. And the Lord moved us out of that church after a year. Just to see the people that he connected me with, his people. The people that were going to call on his name. And I'm just amazed. Like this is the work of God. It's the hand of God. And when I met this young man, it was at a coffee shop. And I knew right away. It's a God connection. And so we exchanged numbers, told him about the little Bible study we had going on. He seemed interested. He was there with his brother. And then I'd sent him some messages inviting him. Heard nothing back. After about a month, I was like, I don't know, what's the matter with this kid? You know, I don't know about you, but for me, this is how it works. Like God will connect me with somebody and I'll see the potential. And then they will completely fail me. It looks like it's nothing's happening. And then I write them off. I go, all right, fine, forget it. You know, maybe I was wrong. Nothing's going to come out of them. And then literally the next day, he sends me a message. He goes, I want to join you I heard you're going to the homeless shelters, preaching the gospel. He goes, I want to join you tomorrow. Can I come? So literally the day after I said, all right, I forget about it. This kid's nothing's going to come out of it. And then the next day he contacts me. So I don't know, for me, it's almost like, they got to be dead and buried in my eyes, and then God raises them up, and then something comes out of it. So this guy called, and he starts joining. We're going to homeless shelters. This is during lockdown, and God just did such wonderful things during that time. I couldn't even begin to tell you some of the testimonies of what God did. Saving people, reconciling people with family, and this kid just got on fire. Now, I didn't know his background, and I didn't know what was going on. So then we started the church, but they didn't come to the church right away because they were part of another church, and that's fine. You know, so they're part of that church. Then finally, like after about 9 months, Lord told me I had to go visit him. I went to visit him, and I didn't know, but at that point, him and his wife and his daughter, they were like, I don't think we're supposed to be at this church anymore. They were preaching some junk, And so I went and visited them, and there was just confirmation. It was time to come to Alberton Bible Church. So anyways, I meet her, and she starts telling me, pulling out journals, and all this stuff about, like, how much she couldn't stand me because this guy turned into a completely different man. Like, what happened to my husband? Now he's, like, telling me I'm going out to preach, and he's, that, like, you know, all this stuff. But she documented, like, the change. Like, he just changed dramatically. And I had no idea. He joined me to go to the homeless shelters. We went for maybe a few months and seemed like a good friend, but that, little did I know, like, how much transformation had happened in their home. And so, again, it's just the Lord. You know, he connects you with the right people. And if you're just obedient and faithful to him, it's his work. They're his souls. He loves these people. So yeah. One thing I can say, I just want to encourage you, is anybody who's traveled anywhere, especially when you travel with the Lord, you know, and the Lord is with you, he is the God of all the earth. This is his earth. Okay, I want you to just know that this is God's earth. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to the Democrats. It doesn't belong to the communists. What's that secret society everybody's afraid of? The Illuminati. It doesn't belong to the Illuminati. Let me tell you with absolute authority and confidence, it doesn't belong to Satan. Now, I know right now he's controlling the world and manipulating the world, but the earth, this earth is God's earth.
Amen.
And wherever you go on this earth, if you will call upon the name of the living God, call on the name of his son, he is mighty to deliver and mighty to save.
Amen.
Exactly what Pastor's talking about this morning. Getting on your face and just crying out to God. This is his earth, and he wants to show himself mighty. And I'm telling you, you go anywhere. He's faithful. He's true. The one time, it was nighttime. God put in my heart to go to this city. Now, South Africa is an interesting land. It's different than here. It's a land of walls and gates because it's a land of vagabonds and thieves. Okay? So, America is such an exception, you know, where everything's just open. You just go up to someone's front door or knock on their door. That doesn't exist in South Africa. Everything is walled and gated and security. And there's quite a bit of violent crime there. Okay, it's not necessarily the safest place in the world. And so there was one city in particular, the Lord opened a door. He was a brother from DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, black brother. And he was inviting me to preach in his church. In fact, he said I was the first man that the Holy Spirit ever told him to have preach in his pulpit. He said, because all these other guys, there's all these messed up gospels and the health, wealth, prosperity. He said, you're the first man I met. I met him. It wasn't by accident. It was God, but I had gotten lost in the city, and then I met this guy, and it was a God connection. But anyways, they had told me in this city at night, when the light turns red, you don't stop. Okay? It's the kind of city. You don't stop. You keep going. You go. Don't stop. Okay, is known for violent hijackings and things like that. So anyways, the Lord put in my heart to go to the city the one night, and I'm driving in, and the sun's going down, dusk coming, and I'm driving, and I'm going past, and there's a big sports bar. The Lord puts in my heart, go in there, preach the gospel. And I'm going, God, I can't. And so I just want to tell you, you know, fear is real, okay? Fear is real. But God is greater than your fear. So I'm terrified. I'm going, no way. People have been telling me over and over, don't even stop. Like you get. So I'm just going around the block about six times. I'm going around the block trying to tell God why I can't stop and go in there. But they told me this and they told me that. But finally, God, the peace of God just, and I just, you know what, God? All right, if you want me to go in, I trust you. Even if these people stab me, it's okay. It's just flesh, you know, like, okay, Lord. And once I surrender, the Lord just peace in my heart. Don't worry, they're not going to touch you. They're not going to touch you, okay? So I pull up, I park, I grab a stack of tracks, I get out, I go to the bouncer. I go, I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to give these out to the people in there. Can I go in here? He goes, yeah, go ahead, go ahead. So I go inside the bar, and it's just a bunch of lost guys with empty, broken, lonely lives, just doing nothing, you know? And I got to hand out tracks to everybody in the bar and preach the gospel. And one guy was crying and, you know, got to preach to the DJ. you know, after you just go out there, it was just joy, you know, like. And my point is, like, South Africa, like, the Lord has used South Africa to help reveal a lot of the fears I had that I didn't know were there. Sometimes when you grow up in an area and you're comfortable and you know where everything is, you know everybody, and you think everything's fine, but sometimes there's all these hidden fears that are lurking within you. And it takes certain circumstances or situations to really reveal it. And I just want you to know, the Lord is so faithful. Those fears that are real, and they will torment you. But if your heart is to do His will, if your heart is to please Him, and you go, man, I want to do His will, I want to please Him, and He's so faithful. Not to hide you from those fears. Yes, there are some times when you're too weak and He will hide you from those fears. You're not ready to face them. But ultimately, what I've found about with the Lord is eventually He wants to take every fear that you have and He wants to lead you face to face, right into it, to face it. Just go right through in obedience. Again, that's the only way. You got to just, okay, fine, Lord, I surrender, I'll obey, and just trust Him. And you know what you find? That all those fears were just lies. They were just lies. They were just junk. They were just all the stuff that was built up in your mind, and you realize how great God is and how faithful He is.
Amen.
Just want to encourage you guys, man. Don't let fear control you. Don't let fear manipulate you. The spirit of fear is a lying spirit. Get that thing. Understand that. Remember, Jesus Christ said, His word is what brings truth, and truth is what leads to freedom. And when you're free, then you have power, you have love, you have a sound mind.
Amen.
Truth comes from Christ's word, and it leads to freedom. And in freedom, you have power and love and a sound mind. So when you find yourself, fear is tormenting you, you feel like you're bound, you can't figure out which way to go, your mind is back and forth, then what you have to realize is somewhere along the line, you have believed a lie. You've believed error. You've given place to error in your heart or your mind. Because if you were believing the truth from Christ's word, you'd be free. You'd have power, love, and a sound mind. So somewhere you've believed the lie. And again, fear is a lying spirit. Oh no, you can't do this because this is what's going to happen. Or they're going to react like this. Or what are they going to do? You know. And I just want to exhort you. Don't listen to the spirit of fear. Listen to the word of Christ. Let your heart and mind be washed with the word of Jesus Christ. Because His word leads us to truth. And truth is what sets us free. It makes us free so that we can walk as those new living creatures in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know if this makes sense. But the spirit of fear is a lying spirit.
Amen.
When that whole COVID thing came up, I got some false report about COVID and all this fear and blah, blah, blah. And I go, God, if this thing is true, this is going to be one of the worst things to hit the earth in a long time. And then I did some research and I found actually it wasn't true. It was a false report. And immediately the fear just, because I found, you know, the Lord led me to truth. He led me to the truth of that. No, this is not what the situation is. And the Lord just settled my heart right off the bat. Was that, don't worry, I'm here, I'm moving, I'm going to shake things up a little bit, but just obey my voice. And you know what? During that lockdown, I think I saw God work more and do more amazing things than I've seen in the 20 years before in my Christian life. But just, God did wonders. Did wonders. Amen. Any other questions or... about the ministry? Yeah, brother?
How is the language barrier then for you? Like, do they primarily speak English?
Or? So that's a good thing. Like I said, there's 11 national languages, but the one language that unites them all is English. So up to this point, I haven't had to learn a new language. It would be advantageous if I could speak their mother languages, but I'm not...
going into the bush?
Yeah, so when you go into the bush, that's different. When you go to the bush, you need a translator, or else you need to know the language. I don't know the languages, but thankfully we have guys on our team that can translate. So it hasn't been a necessity yet for me. I think if I moved into further interior Africa, like if God ever moved us up to Zimbabwe or Zambia or something like that, then I think it would be wise to learn the language. But at this point, there's so many different languages. There's so many different people. And I'm not that good at languages. So unless God wants to give me the gift of tongues, which I say, Lord, give it to me, I'm ready, you know. I'm not talking about charismatic, I'm talking about the real thing. And I would, but until that happens, English is doing the job.
Amen. Yeah.
To God be the glory. Yeah.
When did you get saved?
I have no idea. I don't know. Honestly, I don't. So when I was 8, I asked Jesus to be my Savior and to come into my heart. That's what was revealed to me. That's what was told me. That's what I did. I know all my nightmares stopped. I had nightmares every night of my life till I was 8. I didn't have another nightmare till I was 14. Okay. I know, though, when I was 14, I started going into a life of sin. I didn't know the Lord. That's why I don't think I was saved, but I think God must have had his hand on me or he was going to call me. I never doubted Jesus being the truth. I never doubted the Bible being the truth. I just didn't really know the Lord. I didn't know the Word. So I fell into sin, went into sin with my foolish friends. 18 and a half is when I began turning back to the Lord and crying out to him for help. And God, I need you. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. And that's when I started reading the Bible every day of my life, is at 18 and a half. I don't believe I was born again yet because the New Testament didn't really make sense to me. And the book of Psalms was like really boring. The only things that kind of I liked were like the stories of war and conquest and all that kind of stuff. That was cool. But I believe at some point, you know, God brought me to Jesus Christ. And I remember two things specifically that God really dealt with my heart about was that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Not just personal Savior, because again, that's all that I was preached, is personal Savior. But that he was the Lord and that he rose from the dead. So again, I had been raised in churches where it's always he died for your sins, accept him as your Savior. Died for your sins, accept him. So they're like kind of showing you one half. But Lord and resurrected Christ, I didn't really see. And that's through the scriptures. God began like bringing these things to me. What are you going to do with this? And at some point I got born again because all of a sudden the New Testament became the greatest thing I'd ever read. All of a sudden I could understand what Paul was writing about.
Amen.
Psalms were just beautiful and rich and just revealing Christ. And those people at church who were just kind of weird but nice all of a sudden became like your brothers and sisters. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. So many things. Like it just, you know, like, so the Lord, I couldn't tell you when. I don't know how exactly, but I know the Lord, he did his work. He did his work.
He goes into that far more. If you go back and find him and how that God prophesied you, he goes into that much more.
Yeah.
He's old now. His memory's failing him, but
you see, the beard's getting long again. Oh, the Lord is good. He's good. Let me just read this passage for you. John 6. John 6. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. It's the danger of humanitarian ministries. Got to be careful.
Yeah.
Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but it's implied labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They think they want it, but they don't, actually. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. Amen?
Amen.
We can go on, but you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus Christ. But the reality is, you can't come to Jesus just as you are. What I mean by that is if your God is your belly, and you come to Jesus looking for him to just feed your belly, well, then you'll leave offended when he doesn't feed your belly. If you come to Jesus and you are your own God and you're going to do your dreams and your plans, well, then when Jesus doesn't fulfill your dreams and your plans, you'll leave offended. No, what you need to do is you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
Cry out to him. Ask him to wash you, cleanse you. Ask him to convert you. Ask him to change you and transform you. And then the Father can bring you to Jesus Christ. Because whoever the Father brings to Christ, Jesus said, I will lose nothing. I'll in no wise cast out.
Amen.
In fact, not only that, I'll give him everlasting life and raise him up at the last day with me. It's real. It's real, guys. This is, come on. It's wonderful to gather on Sundays and hear the Word of God. But I'm telling you, he is the living bread every single day for all of eternity, world without end, throughout all ages. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
He's faithful. He's true.
Amen.
Bless you, sir. Sir, thank you very much.
I have a closing song, but our piano players never get an option. Do you have a favorite?